RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Discs Around the Corner, the fine podcast devoted to all things physical media, but more specifically home video, because we don't really talk about vinyl or other ephemera. But this is Drew Taylor, joined as always by Blake Howard. Blake, how you doing?
Hey,
how
buddy.
You feeling?
I'm good. We've got some good batches coming up. And we've got some news. Hot off the press.
Yeah.
This morning, bleary-eyed as Drew and I connect over the international time zones, I'm scrolling through my emails, and I see that Arrow Video is releasing the complete series of Netflix's Stranger Things on Blu-ray and 4K in July 2026, a huge hard box. It looks pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And I just can't believe anyone would want to own it, genuinely.
I will own it. I'm an unapologetic Stranger Things head. And that, I know that makes me the lame-o in the cool kids club. They're like, oh, Stranger Things, I don't think so. But I'm ready for it. I'm going to get that limited edition set. I want the map of Hawkins. I want the, you know, Hellfire Club patch. I want the specific exclusive artwork. I'm in.
It's actually quite, I'll say this. We had a good convo in our last episode about like introducing a slightly younger generation. Cause like, it feels like people who are exactly our age are in the exact corridor for, you know, home video, physical media like us. But hearing that there's more stuff like this, which Stranger Things, it feels so odd that Netflix would allow such a big, beautiful physical media thing. So maybe the Duffer Brothers, like some of, you know, looking around at their screen and filmmaking peers, seeing these huge box sets and these big, beautiful home video collections, like I've gone, oh, that might be fun. You know, we haven't gotten to do for guys who are obsessed with movies from the 80s and are probably collecting a whole bunch of the stuff that we talk about, they're kind of like, I've never done a special feature. Really? That's not on the internet.
Absolutely. Well, there's so much stuff that Netflix has produced that just lives on social media or on YouTube that are like really slickly produced stuff. So I hope a lot of that stuff is on here. But it also feels like if Stranger Things had been made in the 80s, Arrow would be the one to put 100%. It out as a deluxe box set. Yes. And so it does make sense sort of spiritually. But yeah, I mean, I hope this is a sign of things to come. You and I always talk about how much we would enjoy streaming product in physical media form.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about later today on the show.
Hell yeah.
But did you see the other news that the One Battle After Another special edition has finally gotten a release date?
No, I pre-ordered an Australian version.
Okay.
And I pre-ordered it in because there was a steelbook at one of our one of the last sort of local, like, you guys have got like your Best Buys in JB in Australia. We've got this place called JB Hi-Fi. And it's one of our last sort of like in-house stores where you can go buy records or movies or, you know, gaming stuff or, you know, all sorts of things, laptops, everything. It's like a great big sort of more like warehousey kind of Best Buy like kind of shop. And I pre-ordered it, I don't know, January, and I keep checking the pre-order because like no artwork was ever released. No, it's like this is the special edition 4K steelbook. It's coming out, so I'm hoping that that's the same one.
Nah, I think that is the one. Yeah, this awesome. The cover is one side is Tiana and the other side is Chase with the machine gun in hand, and the special features are supposedly curated by PTA. Notoriously not a fan of 4K, by the way. Supposedly the Phantom Thread release, they kind of snuck past him. Yeah, so the fact that we got, you know, we've got Punch Drunk Love in 4K, we've got Boogie Nights now in 4K, I know there's a Magnolia that's on the way, so maybe his heart is warming to the 4K format. But yeah, this will be a 3-disc release coming out in June, so...
Oh my.
So set some money aside, I guess, between this and the giant Stranger Things box set, which... a cool 230 Americans. They have not gone on the kind of like retail site, so maybe there will be discounts from Amazon or other retailers. But I saw our friends at Diabolik DVD. They already have it up for pre-order, both of those. So get it from your favorite mom and pop shop.
In Oz, that is Outrun DVD. Who is
Outrun?
Like,
that's your guy.
Outrun is. Seriously, my guy, that like, you know how like we text each other at weird times, like the legends behind Outrun, like I don't want to give his, like, I don't want to put his name out on blast just in case he doesn't share it, but like I have texted him late at night going like, can you get John Frankenheimer Blu-rays? Like I just ran, and then he'll like a few days later, he'd be like, hey man, this is what you can get. Like he's the man. So like, I love
Outrun. Your broker.
He's truly, truly my broker. All right, I've got some banger ones that I've received over the last little bit. Probably let's just get the aforementioned streaming movie finally coming to physical media. I am holding the Criterion Collection's gorgeous Killers of the Flower Moon.
I got it too. It's in the other room, but I have it. And what a beautiful package too.
The outside artwork is crazy, but like I truly think that shot in the opening of Killers of the Flower Moon, where the Osage folk walk out of, you know, there's a kind of funeral procession that walks out of one of their gatherings, and oil just bursts out of the ground, and then in slow motion they're dancing in it. Oh my god, yeah. So I watched this 4K. It was only the second time I'd watched the movie. I watched it in the theater, and I hadn't actually even watched it on Apple TV when it came out there. And I checked out the special features. There's an incredible documentary that is on there on the special edition, which is, I think, called, I'm going to go grab it. It's A Song for the Osage, Wazazi, and it's all the consultation that happened with the Osage. It's the original like author adaptation, how he worked with Scorsese and Eric Roth. It's all of the actors talking about it, and it was totally worth it. Like I had so many hours of Scorsese in my head because this movie is 206 minutes long, and I think perfect length. And I just thought this. I couldn't wait to get it. It's a real major work from like the best, maybe the best guy who ever made a movie. It's awesome. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I wish they could have gotten Paul Thomas Anderson on the record for that disc, talking about rewriting the script.
Yes.
Was revealed recently. Yes. Yeah. I mean speaking of that opening, they actually had a group from Osage County at the premiere in Hollywood. It was also during the actor strike, so nobody was there. So they had this amazing kind of musical performance, kind of spiritual thing before that happened before the screening, the premiere screening. And then, you know, Marty came out and said a few words, you know, cause we're close enough that I can call him Marty, you know?
Yeah.
And then the movie started, but I had seen it a few times before, but yeah, I love this movie so much. I think the pivot away from the kind of standard narrative to something way more complicated and more nuanced was really interesting. I almost wish he had done two movies and one was from the Jesse Plemons point of view. Because
that's the great, when you read Kills of the Flower Moon, the book, that's the kind of, there are these great handoff points in the book. Like, and when you have chapters, like in David Grand's book, when you have the chapters, it's much more distinct. You kind of like, oh, well, that's this chapter. That's this person's perspective. That's this person's background. And the Jesse Plemons, the real life guy that Jesse Plemons is playing in the movie, is a fascinating character. And there's a big chunk of the book that is about him. And obviously there, but I just watched this again and I was just like, Robert De Niro, obviously one of my favorite actors ever. His performance in this movie is the fact that it wasn't like incredibly hailed as like one of the huge performances of that year. It is completely baffling to me. He's unbelievable. Like, of a whole cast of unbelievable people, that I just couldn't believe it. I was watching this. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I can't believe how good. And yeah, it's an incredible movie. I love it to pieces. Lily Gladstone.
It's wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
All right,
just the best.
What do you got in there? What do you got in that box?
You know, I think this is one of our most anticipated releases collectively, which is the new Cutter's Way.
Hell yeah.
Boom. From our friends at Radiance, who low key becoming one of my favorite imprints, you know, out there. Just great. And I don't, how would you describe this movie? It's sort of a noir kind of mystery, really interesting character work. It's sort of predating the dude, but he is kind of a similarly kind of layabout character. And he gets involved in a mystery in Santa Barbara, which every time we go, we have to go by the hotel and go by all of the bar where he gets thrown out of. And I mean, it's...
I would say it's like a twisty post-Nam.
Post-Nam.
You would say it's like... Because it's 81, so it's a neo-noir for sure. But yeah, it's just like... It's kind of like... And it's got
John Hurt has one hand. Doesn't he have a
John Hurt who's wearing an eye patch, who some people would only recognize as Kevin's dad from the Home Alone series.
Correct.
I want to shout out that I recognize him mainly as the slightly overweight friend of Sam Shepard from the terrific Pelican Brief, which is such immense comfort viewing for me. I've watched that movie so many
times. It's an amazing movie. You know, it is better than The Firm. I gotta just say it.
I can't.
It's better.
I can't believe you said it, because I'm like,
I said
it's better than The Firm for sure.
Oh, it's totally better than The Firm.
Oh my god!
The last time I watched it, I was like, this is like some unsung masterpiece. And then I told Charles, and he was like, yeah, it wasn't that great.
You know? Oh, bless Charles Wood. But I don't think Charles could ever like outrank a Tom Cruise movie for an Alan J. Pakula. But like, I remember thinking about it in my mind. I always had this vision that like, oh, Pakula kind of really like didn't have the sauce when he made The Pelican Brief. And then that's what you, it was always your imagination, because you would think of his like peak movies, you know, his Paranoia trilogy. And I remember when I was doing all the President's Men podcast on our feed, I just turned it on one day and I was like, oh, wait. There's better actors in this movie, and it's shot better than almost any movie that I've seen in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's amazing. It's absolutely.
There's this tracking shot in a garage where it comes down and it whip pans over and then comes back to them. That is like one of the most amazing shots in any movie ever. And it's just wonderful. But the movie is full of shots like that.
Yes.
I mean, there's that amazing sort of overhead shot that's tracking somebody in the crowd, and at the beginning, I mean, it is a wonderful movie. So let's get Criterion on a Pelican Brief 4K.
Hell
Come
yeah.
On.
Yes. And also just the, you were talking about the shots. There's a New Orleans shot where the Tooch, Stanley Tucci, who plays an assassin in the movie,
yes,
is impersonating John Hurt's character and then is assassinated by some other CIA asset to put him down because they're protecting Julia Roberts' character. And there's a shot where there's literally thousands of people walking up to a ferry that when the shot happens, like you see this massive
sprawl. Yes, that's the shot.
Sprawl.
Yeah, it's like super, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that is an incredibly beautifully orchestrated shot. It's like the only other kind of production money that was that big in New Orleans probably then or since is like Deja Vu, shot by Tony Scott. Like,
Interview with the Vampire shot there though too, which was probably pretty expensive. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Very expensive at the time.
We need, really. I think there's a 4K of that coming later this year. That's the rumor of the Interview with the Vampire. Yeah.
So yeah, cut his way. Kind of, it's a great post-Vietnam kind of, I don't want to call it like a stoner noir, but it's like a dirtbag, you know, trauma noir. These guys who, despite their kind of weird standing in the world, they're kind of compelled to get drawn into this larger scale mystery where there is a massive class aspect to their experience. And I don't know, it's hard to sort of define, but it's just incredibly acted top to bottom. It kind of redefines John Hurt as like what that guy could have been had he done more roles like this, like as a true, amazing kind of immersive character actor. And it's only gotten better with every rewatch that I have. I've got the old imprint one that's part of one of the sort of After Dark Neo Noir sets. But this one getting its own big.
This is the third release. This is the third release in America. There was a Twilight Time limited release. And then in 2023, there was actually a really good Fun City Editions release, which is now completely out of print. And I don't know what's going on with Fun City Editions. If they haven't really put out a lot recently, but they are a great imprint.
Really good.
Put out The Lifeguard last year and a couple of others. But so this, now we finally have like the definitive, you know, version, and it's got a 4K and Blu-ray copy. It's got essays and a little booklet, and I haven't gotten to dig into this yet, but it's one of my favorite movies, and I'm so glad to have the kind of like definitive version. Limited to 5,000 copies, so get yours.
Yeah,
They're all snapped up by the three of us that know this movie. Yeah,
I gotta get my car Outrun onto that one for sure.
Yeah, get it.
Imprint have gone mad again. I feel like sometimes I sit here waiting for their next or latest batches, and then I just get like a tsunami of boxes arrive to my house. But I want to give them a shout out. So the main imprint label that a lot of folk would know sort of expanded in the early part of last year or maybe the tail end of the year before with Imprint Asia. So they started bringing out some more contemporary stuff. So the original stuff on Imprint was all like very older, and then it skewed slightly sort of 70s, 80s. But the latest batch, and I'll just kind of cherry pick some absolute bangers out of the latest Imprint Asia batch. Firstly, this is incredible. This bad boy is a massive City on Fire box set, which has been many times referenced as kind of like the proto Reservoir Dogs, has gotten this beautiful Imprint Asia box set, had a huge influence. I can't wait to check it out. I have only ever seen this movie in clips, like clips of the movie before. Never actually, you know, usually in any reference to Tarantino's influences, you sort of see City on Fire clips. I've never actually seen the movie. Very excited. The movie that I cracked immediately, and I think all you soy boys, which is the fans of Michael Mann's Black Hat out there, is Ang Lee's Lust Caution with Tony Leung and Tung Wei. Fantastic movie. I'll give you the gist, which is like during World War II, Shanghai was occupied by the Imperial Japanese Army and ruled by its puppet government. A group of students plot to assassinate a high-ranking official, Mr. Yi, using a honey trap, Wang Zha-Zi, posing as a seductress, and is drawn into a dangerous game that will ultimately determine her fate. Incredible movie. So many of the kind of Vichy France movies have got more attention historically on that kind of like World War II, you know, French assets and agents trying to disrupt Nazi occupation. This is an absolute banger. Ang Lee, great cast. Tony Leung freaking rules. Tang Wei, gorgeous. And it absolutely, and Lee Ho Wang, both those guys starring Michael Mann's Black Hat. This movie came out in 2007. So you can tell that Michael Mann at least was an incredible fan of this movie, especially before casting Black Hat.
Is that a 4K or is that just
it's Blu-ray? Just a Blu-ray on this one. So the City on Fire one is a 4K and Blu-ray, and this one is just a Blu-ray for Lust Caution.
I think that, Lust Caution rules. Even Ang Lee's missteps should be treasured, oh. I think, as someone who has watched Gemini Man multiple times.
I've never watched it.
Well, you have to watch here's a reason why 4K is so essential. Because the only way you can watch it in the high frame rate, 4K, as he intended, is on the 4K. Disc. So
Drew, you know what I did to myself in the last few weeks? I'd watched recently the extended editions on my 4Ks of Lord of the Rings, and then on HBO Max in Oz, because I think I've got them, but I've only got them on Blu-ray. The Hobbit movies are on there, and I watched the first one. I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this. Quite enjoyed the first Hobbit movie. I watched The Desolation of Smaug, which I remember enjoying, and I was like, okay. That was not as good as I remember it. It was okay. And then I did put myself through the Battle of Five Armies. And I was like, wow, there's probably one really good movie in this.
In all those. Yeah.
In all those.
I've never gone back. I remember liking the third one, although I was extremely... So there was a junket where we flew into France, did Exodus Gods and Kings.
Oh, hell yes.
So I had to sit down with Ridley Scott and Christian Bale. And if you ever see anybody meme me, there's a moment where I ask what your favorite Ridley Scott movie is, and Ridley Scott tells me Exodus Gods and Kings, and I look at him in a very disturbed way, which has periodically appeared on Twitter. But, and then I got on the train and went to London and did the junket for the Hobbit, whatever it was, Five Armies. So that's the last time I saw it. So I was incredibly jet lagged, but I kind of want to go back and rewatch them. We got The Hunt for Gollum coming up. You know, we got to be prepared.
This is what I was like, okay, I saw the animated movie.
I like that one, but I was sort of confused by it. But
I was very confused in those movies. And this is where like there's a really phenomenal, like, I would just call him like regular citizen / great podcast producer named Bobby Roberts, who used to produce the podcast 80s All Over. He's done a couple of appearances on my shows and recently was on a great 80s Screen Drafts episode if you want to go and listen to him. But Bobby like is kind of one of those guys who like curates, like when people say there's a fan edit of something, he'll like get a copy. And I must ask Bobby if he's like on his Plex server or something, has like a Hobbit that is just like one movie. Like, is there like a 3.5 hour, one movie version of this that is just all of the garbage and all of the frustrating, annoying things just completely discarded, some things reordered into a movie? Because like that's the frustration. You can see like even if it was two movies, there's probably two really fantastic movies in here and it's just not enough for a trilogy. Whereas like Lord of the Rings is just infinitely rewatchable, extended editions, whatever. And yeah, and what got me was the high frame rate, as you were just mentioning. Oh, the other one I wanted to shout out from Imprint, just to get back on track, is Farewell My Concubine. I haven't cracked that one open yet. But this is, it's a massive set, but it is only a Blu-ray, but it comes with, you know, a huge, Tony Raines has got this, like a Farewell My Concubine thing. It's got booklets, it's got everything. So Imprint Asia, a fantastic little batch there of different kinds of movies and over different eras as well. Really fantastic. I'm so, so excited to dig in to these ones.
You could get the Farewell My Concubine 4K from
Craig. Oh, no, sorry. This is the Farewell is also 4K. Apologies.
Oh, it is 4K. Okay.
It is 4K. Cool. So, yeah. Okay. We might have to do a comparison between those two.
Yeah. I've heard from some fans of the show. Okay. And I'm talking about Charles Hood, the only person that's ever listened to the show. And he really likes when we compare them. And okay. he likes us giving a heads up, you know, about what's coming up. Because he feels like the release schedule is a little overwhelming.
It is incredibly overwhelming. Incredibly overwhelming. I'll make sure then. I'm going to quickly make sure then I'm on the Outrun DVD page, because I will tell you what I've just pre-ordered. What I've just pre-ordered from those guys as well.
Well, while you look at that, we're going to continue back on the subject of television on 4K, which is this a beautiful Salem's Lot that has come out from Arrow. And what I like about it is one disc is the miniseries, the television miniseries that everybody watched in 1979. And then the other one is the theatrical movie version that was cut down to 120 minutes and released theatrically, which happened, I guess, back then.
It still happens. Yeah, one of my favorite things that does that is folks who love the Trip movies, which I adore, all come out as 6-episode, like some of them are like 30 to 40 minute things that go out on the BBC, and then there's a theatrical version. And what I've been looking for, I don't actually know if any of these things exist. Maybe it's only in the UK. I've got to do a bit of research, but I'd love to see like a version exactly as you're talking about, which is like, here's the theatrical cut, because you can get them just on sort of standard Blu-rays and things like that around the place. But I'd love to see like a double, like give me one that's like longer and not for theatrical release, and others that aren't. So yeah, it would be really fascinating to see that.
I haven't watched this yet, but I can only assume that the power of a 1979 television movie on 4K will just be enough to unite the world.
It's like when when you watch the Miami Vice TV shows on Blu-ray, when it's in that beautiful 4:3. Of old school TV, like it's incredibly high definition. It looks gorgeous. Really, really great transfer, even on Blu-ray. But you're like, wow, how good. I need an IMAX television in my house so that I can actually appreciate
it. Or conversely, you need like a CRT TV to get that real authentic kind of vibe.
I miss buttons, man. I see people online, you know, making stuff, and I'm like, I remember as a kid where you had to tune your television, or you had to have those big giant buttons. I think there's got to be somewhere out there, like you see all these sleek screens and such. Just give me a button, give me a tactile button. I can turn a volume nozzle up and down. You know, I love that stuff.
I also like that it was a piece of furniture, the television.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It wasn't just something you put on your wall.
I needed five guys to lift it.
Five guys. Yeah. Listen, when I got the last TV we got, which was an 85-inch Samsung, it took a lot to get get in here. So
those things are awkward. Those things are awkward to move around.
I'm ready to crack the triple digits though for the next TV.
Me too.
We're going above, right?
Oh yeah, hell yeah, yeah. No, I literally was walking through JB Hi-Fi because they also sell televisions, and I walked past a couple of these gorgeous LG 100-plus-inch OLEDs. And I just walked past and I looked at it. My wife looked at me and she goes, no, just walked away. That's the perfect conversation for me. Just all like that. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
How about yes?
It will happen. It will happen. Yes. I love it.
Speaking of something you haven't watched since you had to manually plug in a yellow video cord and a red and white audio cord from a VHS player into one of those. Imprint has brought out the Lawnmower Man box set 1 and 2. This is a really crazy double Blu-ray pack that has documentaries, especially around the first one. It's got Cyber God creating the Lawnmower Man. It's got theatrical cut, which is 108 minutes. This is what I want to know, because like back in the day, I obviously saw this movie on VHS. I don't think I've ever watched it since. It really freaked me out at the time. The VR, I thought it was like the coolest and most futuristic movie of my life at that time. But there is a 141-minute director's cut. 141 minutes?
That's on you. That's on you. I mean...
That's on you, dude. You go
That's
there.
On you. I mean, life is too short. But I mean, maybe it's wonderful.
I have to watch it. You know, you spoke about Exodus Gods and Kings. You know, Ridley Scott. I'm always watching theatricals and the director's cuts. I'm gonna have to check out the director's cut as the standard when I watch this one. And the other big one after this incredible box set, the Lawnmower Man 1 and 2 that I wanted to check out is Alligator 1 and 2. Now, these are both 4Ks. So we've got Alligator and then Alligator, then Mutation. 1980 and then 1981 flicks. I can't wait to check these out.
Have you seen Alligator?
I've seen Alligator. Like, when I was a kid, this is, again, tales of a misspent youth when you have boomer parents, is that there was a time when I would just go to the video store and walk through the horror section. I was like probably, I don't know, I probably would have only been like 11 or 12, but like I would just go and go all the Child's Plays, all the Critters, all the Nightmare on Elm Street, yep. And I just would like go and grab those weekly video batches, and Alligators was that, like, there were some like little ones where I'd get like a couple of series. And I reckon at that time, like if I was putting letterbox, you know, McConaughey would have been from Wolf of Wall Street would have been telling me how good my numbers were. Like, they're not rookie numbers. They were huge numbers of like movies every week. I smashed every series, but I can't remember watching it since renting it on a VHS.
The first one is is a wonderful movie. John Sayles screenplay.
Yes.
Robert Forrester talking about his hair plugs. I mean, it is absolutely great. And the second one is okay. We only got the first one in 4K in America from Shout, and then Alligator 2 came out as a Shout Factory website exclusive, which now they are starting to reissue since they have given up their online presence. But
that's cool.
Yeah, the first Alligator, I think, unsung masterpiece from that period. But I can't wait to hear. You're going to have to watch them now and report back.
I can't wait to watch that incredible director's cut next time we check in. So you just talked about Red Sonja, which is coming out a couple of weeks ago, which it is out now. So I want to remind people, Mimic 4K is out. I got to get my hands
on
that.
Came out today this week. Yeah,
this week. Like hot off the press. So two things that I recently have picked up from Outrun, which is my local one. You could probably go Diabolic DVD if you're in the States. But the two big ones that I picked up was, and I just want to shout out the first one, which is there is now a gorgeous 4K coming of Peter Weir's The Cars That Ate Paris, which I have just...
From where?
That one, I'm going to find it. It is... It's coming out from the BFI, so they did the it also is a limited edition set. It's a 2-disc set. It has his version of The Plumber. It's coming out in May, and I just pre-ordered it. The other big BFI sets are like Lehane. They did an incredible version of Get Carter. They did The Proposition, which is the gorgeous 4K set that came out. John Hillcoat's Aussie movie came out from BFI as well. So this isn't, I don't think it's like a hard box set, but it's like a double 4K that has both of those. And it's got The Plumber, which is on Blu-ray, Cars That Ate Paris is on 4K. It's got a whole bunch of other extras, which they haven't yet announced. So that one I just wanted to shout out is like one from the BFI that was like an immediate pre-order for me. So for Peter Weir fans who are looking for his stuff on physical media all the time, we had that great release of Master and Commander come very recently. So very, very cool to see that. There's a few other really big ones. Obviously, Picnic at Hanging Rock has had many great releases, Second Sight, you know, Criterion, etc. There's the Last Wave has a phenomenal umbrella set. So yeah, there's still more out there in the Peter Weir canon that needs to be here, and obviously Witness, which is, you know, one of the greatest movies of all time. So, but there's, you know, I want a 4K Mosquito Coast. I want to see Green Card. I want to see there's so many of those others that I want to see get there, because, you know, for a legend like Weir, it's like I want the whole of his collection on 4K.
Yeah, I think there is a Truman Show 4K though, I think.
Oh yeah, there is. Yeah, I've got that here too. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And you know, Peter Weir almost directed Salem's Lot.
Really? So
perfect. Yes. Really? He said that. Yeah. Actually, when I talked to him for what was that movie where the people are walking around
the way back, you spoke to him for the way back. You were on the last press tour that he ever really did prior to his Academy Award. Yeah,
and he talked about kind of being disturbed by Salem's Lot, and at the time I think he was trying to adapt William Gibson's pattern recognition at the time.
Really?
That's what he was trying to, yeah, that was supposed to be the next movie. But now there will not be another movie, which is very sad.
You know, it's sad, but it's also like, he's kind of living the life that you kind of almost aspire to, where you go, I created this great art. He lives, I think, north of Sydney in some beautiful ocean overlooking home, where part of, you know, where he wrote part of Master and Commander, by the way, like he just, like, you know, where he just wrote listening to the trees and listening to the ocean. And now he just lives with his wife happily and his family, and he's retired and he's happy. And I'm kind of like, isn't that what you really want? Like, to create great art that people adore and then like just ride off into the sunset and be happy.
Yeah, but it would be nice if we had another Master and Commander movie.
It would. It's one of the great tragedies of our lives that there are currently nine Fast and the Furious movies, or how many? 10? Was there 5-6? Yeah, 10.
Well, there's 11 because we have Hobbs and Shaw too.
Oh,
which we cannot forget. We cannot.
To all the Hobbs and Shaw stands out there, including my dear friend Maria Lewis, apologies, but there's like what, 5 Pirates of the Caribbean movies, 1 Master and Commander, 1.
And how many books were there? Let's see.
20. I've got 20.
Them all. Yeah.
There are 20.
And 1
books.
Unfinished. Yeah.
Yeah. So incredible. Incredible. Well, anything on your radar that's coming soon?
Well, I know I've already mentioned this, but I'm really excited. Next week, we are getting the 4K from Powerhouse Films, part of their Indicator series of Dead Kids, which is one of my favorite 80s horror movies. And I really I encourage people to buy it just sight unseen if you like 80s horror movies and things that are very odd. It has an amazing dance sequence too. It was co-written by Bill Condon, the great, yeah. Bill Condon co-wrote it. So I'm really, really excited about that. That's like one of my most anticipated of the year. But yeah, I mean, we got some new Criterion announcements this week. There's going to be 2 more John Waters movies coming out later this year, which is very exciting. Also, you know, as people who live and die by the Criterion sales, we didn't get a February flash sale.
Oh.
And it looks like we're not getting a March flash sale either. So, well, all this is to say the Barnes & Noble sale cannot come soon enough in July, because we've been stockpiling.
These. Yeah, I've definitely got a list of, like, because on April 28th on Criterion, which is coming up, which is probably there's one or two in March that are going to be coming up, that I know that, you know, we had. So the March 24 release of Kills of the Flower Moon was one, but there's a couple of other March releases which are great. Monty Python's Life of Brian, etc. But in late April, John Singleton's Hood trilogy, so Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice, and Baby Boy, are all coming to Criterion. So that one, we got Stray Dog that's in that list. And in the new announcements, the two ones besides obviously the ones that you just mentioned, the John Waters ones, 2 contemporary ones that are getting added immediately is Lav Diaz's Magellan, which I haven't seen. So I was like, oh, I'm going to actually wait for that to come to Criterion. And Jafar Panahi's Incredible, It Was Just an Accident, is getting its release in June 30 as well. So really excited about those ones, because that kind of like June batch is incredible. That 5 Easy Pieces is stunning. The Rafelson, you know, 4K that's coming. Lenny is coming as well. So yeah, there's really good ones coming in Criterion. But oh man, I want to get that sale. I'm going to do like Peter Hujar's Day and Body Heat and Sentimental Value and Stray Dog are all on my list, and Lee Marvin in Point Blank. They're all.
We should do an episode when the sale happens, because it is a month long and it really does set you back financially. You just think, how long is this month? I'm still ordering things.
Yeah. I think this is one where we're going to Instagram live it, and I'm just going to tell Drew to buy 2 of everything.
That's fine. I will do it.
And it'll be live
from the Barnes & Noble at the Americana. We'll do it.
Hell yeah.
You know what else is coming out later this month from Shout is a 4K of Outbreak, which I think underrated 90s thriller.
Love Outbreak. Getting it 100%. Yes. That when did this? I gotta just double check that I didn't dream that this happened. I do want to give a shout out to Vinegar Syndrome, who brought out a movie. I think it's like its sister release, which is Congo. So like Congo and Outbreak fantastic double feature, also made in 1995. That was a movie that was so quotable for my generation growing up.
Congo?
Yeah, Congo. You know, it's just,
you know what I always say from Congo is, did you give her the banana with the dope inside?
I always said this. I had a buddy who was a film nerd at school. He used to always go like this. He'd go, have some coffee and cake. And then he'd go, have some. He's just like.
And then what does he say? He doesn't like that Tim Curry eats the coffee. No. The coffee cake. He says, no. No. Yeah, you can't have it.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Holmorco, or whatever his name is.
Ridiculous.
And also, Marty Supreme is coming out later this month in 4K, which I'm very excited about. I have not seen it since it came out because I'm waiting, holding out for the 4K from A24.
I saw it beautifully on IMAX. I waited, I actually missed it in its like original sort of release run, and I waited till I could catch it at IMAX. Really, I'm excited to see it. You know, it's post-Oscars. How are you feeling in the town, Drew, after the Oscars? Do you get relieved? Town. Do you get relieved?
I get relieved. Well, I get sad because I don't, my supplemental source of income, which is Q&A's, dries up, you know, for a few months. But that's okay. We all, you know, we're all getting through it. But, you know, I thought the Oscars were a lot of fun. Had to work it. So, you know, I'm very tired on Thursday, having one day off in between. But, you know, Hollywood's starriest night.
It was a, how did you feel? I had this conversation with my friends. I was like, so nice when, and this is for me personally, where I was like, my two favorite movies of last year were One Battle After Another and Sinners. And so watching so many of these like headline awards go to those folk, and then people like Amy Madigan, who did this great performance in Weapons, get recognized, and the kind of like juggernaut that was Jesse Buckley and Hamnet get recognized. I was kind of like, this is a really great, cool Avatar for visual effects, obviously, because like literally no one is doing it like Jim Cameron and those folk. I'm like, this is a good year. Paul Thomas Anderson has three Oscars. Ryan Coogler has an Oscar. You know that now Ludwig Göransson has three.
Yeah,
beast mode. Ludwig Göransson just like winning awards like John Williams.
Really makes you feel like a real piece of shit when you realize you're the same age and he has three Oscars and you don't even have a Critics' Choice Award yet or a Cable Ace Award or anything.
When you're just a nominee in the Australian Podcast Awards, which you
a loser of the Australian Podcast Award.
Yeah.
Listen, we'll get there. We're gonna get there. I thought it was a great night. I mean, I was sort of rooting against One Battle at a certain point because I knew that Corey Everett was in the audience as a seat filler and that he was jizzing his pants every time GTA won anything.
I literally texted Corey when I saw that he went, and I was like, you would have been levitating at everything that was happening with that movie.
He was there. He was a seat filler.
I know. I saw his photos on Instragram. I was like,
it's a level of sycophantic devotion that is really should be studied. But I wanted to say actually one thing that is coming out that I don't even know if it has a release date yet, but I immediately pre-ordered it, is there's a 4K of No Other Choice, the movie that was robbed for the international nomination.
That is a movie and a half.
Yeah. And it this one has the new extended director's cut as well. This is directly from Neon. It is the most I've ever spent on one Blu-ray, which is $70. But it looks gorgeous. And it comes with some pins, which I'm a big pin guy. So it has a pin of the plants and the main character. But
All right. I got to get on to our
30-minute documentary, three video commentaries. So yeah, did I order this on the same week that I ordered the James Jean print of the poster that cost $600? I might have. I'm not going to name anybody.
Wait, hold on. Say that again. What did it have? You can't just gloss over that.
It was the James Jean poster, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Which is him, which is beautiful. There were only 300. And it was $600, which I had to kind of
see. This
do.
Is like yeah. that. This is like that Mondo shit back in the day, which now these guys like where they you would have those Mondo posters, and you'd be literally poised like kids buying Taylor Swift tickets at your computer, hoping to get one of those limited editions.
I had the site ready to go. I was on an interview and I still clicked through it. But, you know, at least they're only 300, and I know that it's already worth something, like instantly. You know, but.
Well,
yeah.
No other choice. Currently, no other choice. If you go to the Neon site, it says not available in your country.
I can order another one.
Well, no, I will check that it's on Outrun. If not, I'm just gonna you know how like you can set up an automatic thing where your pay just gets sent somewhere. Yeah. I'm just gonna just send a direct credit to Drew's account and just say buy things.
Blake's gonna give me his credit card number, and we're gonna make it happen. It's like the company card.
And then the next person that is gonna call you for this is my wife. You're just gonna come onto a call, and my wife's gonna be sitting where you're seeing me right now, and she's gonna say, "I need you to stop."
Yeah, and I said, "What
can't
do
stop,
I say?
One stop. Can't stop one
no,
stop.
No, can't stop one. I can't say no to that face. You know." She knows that better than anybody, you know? So
exactly. Guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Discs Around the Corner. Hopefully we haven't, suffocated and strangled your dollars in an economy where we may run out of fuel. So the next time I speak to Drew, I will be dressed like a character from Mad Max 2. If the time is right on the predictions of Australia.
How much is gas in Australia right now?
So I got to do the math, because a gallon to liters, I have to sort of figure it out. Okay, so we do things in 1 liter. So for like basically a gallon is nearly 4 liters. At the moment, it's $2.80 a liter. So that would probably be like something close to.
So it'd be like $9 a gallon.
Like $7 or $8 a gallon right now. Like nearly $10 a gallon is basically what is kicking off in Australia. So it's overnight in some places, it was like nearly, you know, it was like you could get $1.89 on a cheap day. You'd be like, great, $1.89. Under $2 a liter. And then overnight it was like $2.50, $2.80. I was like, oh cool, it jumped up a dollar. That's not gonna hurt. I don't have to drive.
The other
places.
Thing I have to ask about in Australia, have you changed your opinion on the thylacine being alive in today's modern era? I asked Blake about this years ago. He said, no way. It doesn't exist.
You're talking about the great Tasmanian tiger.
Yeah. I'm very invested in its survival.
Firstly, I'm invested in, number one, the terrific, what feels like a neo-noir, yeah, noir Australian movie, The Hunter, starring Willem Dafoe.
Love that movie. Great movie.
Which is a great movie, and every chance I get to mention it, yes. No, I don't think it is alive, because Tasmania, as one of our island, you know, our island state off the southeastern coast of Australia, it does have this incredible forest, like this forest infrastructure there. It's stunning landscapes. I don't think it would survive now because we just have too much contemporary technology. But that movie made me want to believe much more. The more interesting.
Why does
question
he have
during-
to kill it though? He has to kill it for a medical purpose.
Well, he's
or
being
something.
Paid by some like weird. Shady DNA place that if they take it, they're going to clone it. And instead, he just kills it and buries it and leaves it in the woods.
Yeah.
Hashtag spoilers. But there is one more interesting one, which is that in the 1970s, and I know this happened in America, that all sorts of weird pets existed, right? It's the whole like Tiger King of it all. Apparently, in Western Sydney, there is a panther that lives in the hills. Now there is a football team in Australia and a rugby league team called the Penrith Panthers, a dominant, great team in rugby league, who've won many championships or grand finals in Australia, as we would call them. And there is a lot of rumors around the Western Sydney Panther and people taking weird random footage and putting that up on social media and like documentaries about panthers that apparently one escaped from a zoo or several escaped from a zoo and they live and hunt
a big cat out there. And so that one's more a more fun one that I like to dig down the rabbit hole of occasionally. A panther on the loose.
Yes, the panther. No, the thylacines.
No, no.
So, okay. All right. Well, we're going to continue keeping track of this in future episodes.
Huge coverage. Only coverage you can get here. Guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Disc Around the Corner. Drew, you're a legend, and we'll catch you on another episode soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Run with my toxic love. Look how you made me happy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.